Present.
Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Today's chaplain is Monsignor James Haberger from the University of St. Thomas.
Steps get a little steeper every year, don't they?
Creator God, author of life, help us know the beauty of each of us. We are not the coinage stamped with the head of Caesar. We rather are the clearest reflection of God on the face of the earth. Male and female, he created us in his own image and likeness. We are stamped, the youngest to the oldest, with the very imago Dei, the image of the living God. Thus, with confidence, we pray, O God of the fair measure and the just weight, may we show forth your holiness not only in our worship, but also in our legislative responsibilities. Vulnerable God, make us hunger and thirst to see right prevail and single-minded in seeking justice and peace. Hold close in your love our service people and all the innocent victims of war and violence. Finally, we pray that you keep us thankful and hopeful and useful until this life shall end. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Very good. Nice job. You practice it?
I did it just for you.
Yeah, I need the message, yeah.
Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzold, Bonoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Dahl, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fischbach, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Hand, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Koch, Coring, Kubley, Langseth, Larson, Latz, Slimmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Olsen, Olson G., Olson M., Ortman, Pappas, Pariseau, Pogamiller, Pretner, Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vandeveer, Vickerman, Wergen, and Wieger.
Quorum is present. First order of business is executive and official communications. It's printed on today's agenda. Next order of business is reports of committees. Senator Pogamiller.
Mr. President, I move that the reports of the committees and the agenda be adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Next order of business is second reading of Senate bills. There are four, and they are printed on today's agenda without objection. Second reading of Senate bills. Next order of business is motions and resolutions. There are a number of authors' motions. Without objection, we'll take them as one motion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Fischbach, are you? Senator Dahl in the building?
Behalf of Senator Fischbach.
Senator Pogamiller.
I would move that Senate File 3205 be withdrawn from the Committee on Higher Ed and re-referred to Health, Housing, and Family Security. I'm assuming that's just a procedural issue.
I believe that's correct.
Get it to the right committees.
All right. All those in favor of the Pogamiller motion on behalf of Senator Fischbach, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Pogamiller for Senator.
Mr. President, on behalf of Senator Dahl, whoops, he's here.
Oh, Senator Dahl, did you have a motion on, at the desk?
Yeah, I move that, Mr. Chair, move that Senate File 3089 be returned to the author.
Okay. 3389. And, Senator, this is your bill?
3389, yes.
Okay. On the motion, Senator Dahl, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. There's one resolution on today's agenda. Without objection, a resolution will be sent to the Rules Committee.
Mr. President, I have a...
Senator, remaining on motion, Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I'd move that House File 2590 be withdrawn from the Committee on Health, Housing, and Family Security and re-referred to the Committee on Rules and Administration for comparison with Senate File 2418. And if I could just explain...
Yeah, would you explain,
Members,
Senator Pogemiller?
Apparently, the House file had already arrived in the committee, but the committee sent out the Senate file, and the Senate file is actually on our calendar now. So we have to get the House file out of the committee, get a comparison, and then the Senate file will be put onto the House file. And it's Senator Corrine's bill. So this is a bit unusual, but something slipped through the cracks in a committee.
Okay, on the Pogemiller motion, discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Next order of business will be general orders. Senator Pogemiller, or wait, we have the calendar? Okay, remaining on motions, we'll proceed to the calendar. These have been heard. On the calendar, there will be about 3-4 votes here. Secretary will give Senate File 2912 its third reading.
Senate File 2912, a bill for an act relating to mortgages, amending provisions relating to foreclosure, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. Are we doing all this? All senators having voted, desire to vote, Secretary will close the roll. There being 51 ayes, 1 nay, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. We have two more bills we're going to be voting on. I would encourage you to stay at your desk. The next bill is Senate File number 2910. The Secretary will give Senate File 2910 its third reading.
Senate File 2910, a bill for an act relating to landlord and tenant, modifying expungement of eviction records.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 49 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed, its title agreed to. The last bill on the calendar will be Senate File 2918. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 2918, a bill for an act relating to mortgages, providing for proof of abandonment for purposes of a reduced mortgage foreclosure redemption period.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 56 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed, the title agreed upon. Order of business will be the general orders calendar. Senator Pogemiller.
Would you like to have bill introductions first?
Yeah, we could do that. Yeah. Next order of business will be the Senate bill introductions and first reading of Senate bills. There's one change on page 2, Senate File 3462 will be sent to the Finance Committee. Without objection, first reading of Senate bills. Senator Pogemiller.
Remain on the order of motion, order of business of motion resolutions. I move the Senate take up the general orders calendar.
On the motion to take up the general orders calendar, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
I move that the Senate do now resolve itself into a committee of the whole for the purposes of taking up the general orders calendar.
On that motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. First bill under consideration this morning will be General Orders Number 4, Senate File 2766, Senator House File 3055, Senator Cohn. Senator Cohn.
Mr. President, are we working off the House file or the Senate file?
House file, excuse me.
Pardon?
House file.
And what number was the House file?
All right. It's on the board, 3055, Senator Cohn.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee do arise, that House file 3055 be recommended to pass.
Okay. Senator Cohn, explanation.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, this is the deficiency bill. Members, we, on an annual basis, will have a deficiency bill for appropriations. Requesting appropriations where there's been some problem with a deficiency within the particular agency. This bill has only several deficiencies. The only general fund deficiency is a request for an appropriation of $175,000 by the Sesquicentennial Commission. Members might recall that when we adjourned last year, there was a relatively small appropriation provided for the commission. Obviously, this is the year of the Sesquicentennial. The commission, although to a great extent funded through private donations and I think some foundation grants, does need some general fund appropriation. This particular request will allow the staff to continue in employment. And what the commission explained to some of us both privately as well as to the Finance Committee is that absent this appropriation, they simply will have no money to provide for their relatively small staff. So that's the only general fund appropriation. The other appropriations you see in the deficiency bill are to some of the licensing boards for some significant administrative hearings. I don't know the details of the particular hearings in terms of the disciplinary actions sought or required by the Board of Chiropractic Examiners, Board of Dentistry, and Veterinary Medicine. But members should keep in mind that this is a revolving fund. This is not through general fund dollars. But for the boards to access the money, they need an appropriation from the legislature. So even though the money is covered outside the general fund in the revolving accounts, you need the appropriation from the legislature to actually access the money. So, members, that's what this year's deficiency bill is all about. And Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, just let me add a comment. I expect when we start dealing with the supplemental budget, we'll find other quasi-deficiencies. I'm aware of a couple. But in terms of explicit deficiencies at this point, these are the only ones we're dealing with right now.
Further discussion on House File 3055. Seeing none, Senator Cohn renews his motion when this committee to arise that House File 3055 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The next bill on general orders is number 2, Senate File 2667, Senator Berglund.
I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2667 be recommended to pass.
Senator Berglund, discussion on your bill.
Mr. Chairman and members, you will remember a discussion we had last year about radiation oncology facilities, and we placed a two-year moratorium on the construction of any further facilities so that we could have time to do a study to see if we have enough capacity. And what that study showed, and you have a summary of it handed out to you, is that all of the facilities that we have online at the moment are under capacity. And so the report that we got back said that we would be over capacity for the next 10 years, and that the newer machines that will replace the machines we have now have an increased capacity of about 20%. And so that means that we could be over capacity for longer than the next 10 years. So the purpose of the bill is to make it clear that people should not be planning to construct more facilities at this time while we are at overcapacity. Be ready for questions.
Senator, discussion on the bill. Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, as Senator Berglund mentioned, this was a bill that we have talked about previously. And we did have testimony in Senator Marty's committee on this bill a week or two ago. And I think that there are a couple of things that, to me, are of concern. I would hope they're a concern to other members in the body. One is that this would make the current moratorium that is in place a permanent moratorium. And just for purposes of at least my recollection of the history of this is that we put a two-year moratorium on the construction of these facilities. And this was done last April. So April of 2007, we passed in this body as part of an omnibus bill. And in fact, that provision was added, I think, not through a committee process. But anyway, we adopted that provision. And so now, less than a year from that, we're saying we're going to make this temporary or this short-term moratorium permanent. And members, I'm not sure that this is good policy. I'm not sure that this makes a lot of sense. And Senator Berglund did mention that she's handed out a document that shows capacity. And the argument is that we should not allow this to go forward because we have plenty of we would run the risk of overbuilding capacity. And members, that's not for this body to decide, at least in my judgment. We spend a lot of time talking about the medical issues and healthcare issues, and we talk about the need to have markets govern in some of these decisions, and we talk about we don't want the state to be the governing body in healthcare. But here we are, we're saying that we know, and we're going to vote, we're going to say we have enough radiation facilities in the state that we don't need to have any more. And I would challenge members in this body to say how firm are you in that knowledge? Do you really know that? Why is this body charged with making that decision? And so, members, I think this is a concern to me, and I hope it's a concern to you. What we're really doing here, as I understand it, is we're saying that we want radiation to be conducted at hospitals and not at independent radiation clinics. And I would say that that's not a decision that this body alone should make. In fact, I'm not sure how much of a decision this body should take in that. And as I understand it, part of the argument here is that the radiation facilities in hospitals are a lucrative component of hospital revenue. And so that if we allow competition to flourish, that that may put in jeopardy some of the revenue streams to hospitals. And we'll acknowledge, and I'm certainly the first to acknowledge, that we don't have a free market operating in medical facilities and medical care. But to say that we are interested in patient having the right to choose treatment, and that we want to try to encourage relationships between patients and doctors, and if we believe that we are interested in low cost, why we would then say that we are going to forbid a high-cost operation to be, in effect, monopolized by an action of this body and say it has to only be done at a hospital. And the I think the result is going to be that those high-cost structures are going to be preserved. That if we're interested in finding ways to do things more economically at a lower cost, that you have to have some kind of competitive dynamic in play. And to put in place a permanent monopoly and say that only hospitals can do this, or that we're not going to allow any other kind of radiation facility to emerge, I think is unwise and contrary to many of the stated opinions of members of this body and others that we shouldn't do things of that nature, that we're interested in trying to make sure that patients have the right to choose the treatment that they think is appropriate along with their doctor, and that we're interested in doing things that would allow for costs to go down. And so I think to make this kind of a step today and put in place a permanent moratorium, in effect forbidding the development of future radiation treatments facilities, is unwise. And so, members, I would urge that we reject this bill, that we allow the current moratorium that's been in place, was adopted last April for 2 years, to let that stand and let this debate continue and not take the more drastic step of making this a permanent moratorium. I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it is wise. I think it is contrary to opinions of many in this body about the direction of healthcare in this state. And so, members, I urge you to vote against this.
Chair recognizes Senator Scheid.
Madam Chair, I have the A1 amendment.
Scheid moves to amend Senate file, 2667 with the A1 amendment. Senator Scheid.
Madam Chair, I think.
Senator Scheid moves to amend Senate file 2667 as follows. Page 1, line 22. This is amendment A-1.
Senator Scheid.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I could go into kind of a long speech, I suppose, about why I don't believe in moratoriums, but this amendment is, I think, really reasonable. It extends the moratorium for 2 more years. We've already said that we have the moratorium, I think, until 2009. This adds a year. It extends it 2 years from now. Not asking you to eliminate the moratorium, even though I don't agree with it. Members, we're making medical treatment decisions with this language in the bill, and we shouldn't be doing that. Cancer patients getting chemotherapy or radiation therapy, and of course this bill is about radiation therapy facilities, that's scary, and it makes you sick. This isn't about chemotherapy, but I know what it's like to be down the hall from the doctor's office while you're getting chemotherapy or another treatment like radiation, and know that your doctor and his or her staff is there to answer questions that may arise, and they do arise. Can you have your Aranesp shot 24 hours early because your patient is a state senator and can't come back on Monday? It's nice to be able to ask your doctor for that permission to do that and have the answer in 30 seconds. And I had that experience a number of times. The same thing holds true with radiation facilities. Why would we limit where people can receive this treatment and by whom and when? I know Senator Berglund has shared this one particular study. I haven't read the entire study. I've read some comments about it. I know that some of the statistics there came from a manufacturer of the equipment. I'm not trying to say that the information isn't correct, but I think there's information available from an accrediting organization the American College of Radiation Oncology, which is an accrediting organization, that says their standard is 27 patients a day. This used 35 patients a day. According to that study by the accrediting organization, some of our facilities are already full. And members, that's what's wrong here, I guess, with acting on this bill here today and even having the moratorium in place at all, but certainly by making it permanent and not having some extension for further talk, further discussion, further study, and further experience. Because we can talk all day about, and we do, about healthcare costs and all the things we can do to hold them down. And we talk about docs, and we talk about hospitals and other healthcare providers and insurance plans. Let's talk about the patients. Let's focus on patients and what you want for them. When you're getting radiation therapy, and members know, we've had the experience here in this body with a member who received, I think, close to 30 treatments, driving every day to Rochester for those, Monday through Friday, for 6 weeks. Nobody should have to do that. He had lots of good friends who helped do that. Other people don't have people who are available to do that kind of driving around. It really is helpful if people can choose what's convenient for them. And I guess finally, members, I would just say that I don't know of any other place where limiting competition drives costs down. I've never seen that. And so I'm urging you to support this amendment. Doesn't eliminate the moratorium, just extends it for 2 more years. Current law has it extended for 1 year. I'm asking for 2. Thank you for your support.
Is there further discussion? Senator Salzman.
There. And thank you, Madam Chair. All of us have had family members who have suffered from cancer, and all of us have felt the pain of that. But I think all of us have also talked to people as we've been out in our communities and talked to families who have not had health insurance and who are struggling to be insured. And so when we have that debate, and why we should have this debate, is really talking about how are we truly going to look at containing costs when perhaps having a radiation facility 10 more minutes away is going to serve a patient better. I really believe that when we talk about the increasing costs of health care and we look at the percentage that comes from state and federal funds, we should be involved in this debate. And seeing these studies from Senator Berglund, to me, are very compelling, because when I have visited these facilities, there's not a waiting list. You can go in the same day. And if I were to find out that there was a waiting list, we have this ability as this body to address that in the future. I support this. I think it's part of our larger discussion. But to put a date really just extends this debate another couple years. I think this is a time for us to make a statement. And certainly in the future, if there are concerns about people waiting in lines or not being covered, we have the ability to come back and address this issue. So I would not support this amendment.
Senator Berglund.
Madam Chair, I'd like to place a call on the Senate.
Senate's on your call. Oh, we can't do that. We're on general orders.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Well, I'd like members to be in here because I think this is going to be an important vote. I'd like to ask for a roll call vote on the amendment.
There will be a roll call. We need 3 hands for roll call. There will be a roll call. Senator Berglund.
Madam Chair and members, we have a lot of issues that we need to be debating and discussing over the next few years in regard to health care reform and the implementation of health care reform. We do not need to keep returning to this issue, which is an issue we've been addressing fairly often, fairly recently. The reason that we put the moratorium for 2 years in place was to make sure we'd have time to get an assessment of our capacity It is clear that we are over capacity, and the report said we would be for at least 10 years, and probably with new equipment that's more efficient coming online, we would be over capacity for some time beyond that. So having these discussions every couple of years, having the lobbying every couple of years, it really is a waste. And to lead people in the state of Minnesota to believe that sometime a couple of years down the road, they could be planning to build a new facility, that would be misleading them, because we don't need more facilities. These facilities are about $5 million apiece just to put them in place, and they are over $1 million a year to operate them. So when we have more of them than we need, we spend more than we need. So, members, I urge you to vote against this amendment.
Is there further Madam discussion Chair? On the amendment?
Madam Chair.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Madam President. I appreciate the amendment that Senator Scheid has offered, and I share, I think, some of her concerns about moratoriums in general. But I think confronted with the choice today of extending a current moratorium for an additional year or putting a permanent moratorium, of those two choices, I think what Senator Scheid is offering makes the most sense, and I would urge us to support that. We've got before us the argument of this saying, here are the percentages of capacity. And I don't know how many people, how many members of this body have read that study. I have not. I trust that Senator Berglund has, and her judgment it is compelling. But we are being asked to serve, in effect, as a board of directors for the medical industry in the state of Minnesota, particularly with respect to radiation. And we are to say, we're going to say that we know that there is enough. We know that. And that we're going to, because of that, we're going to forbid the expansion of radiation treatment facilities. I don't think we know that. I think that by doing what Senator Scheid has asked us to do, extend the moratorium for another year, I think it will give all of us a chance to read this study, to understand it, to understand whether the capacity that's being evaluated was done fairly, rightly, and exactly, for us to ask the question whether we as a body ought to be the one making the decision about how much capacity for treatment there ought to be. Why don't we make the same judgment with respect to dental treatment capacities or orthopedic surgery capacities? There are all kinds of medical procedures and clinics that exist in Minnesota. We don't do capacity studies and on those particular treatments and decide how many clinics we're going to have or where they ought to be, and we shouldn't do that. But we're doing it in this case. And I think we're doing it without full information on the part of the members of this body. Maybe there are some who know more than others. But we're being asked to take an action to say we are going to put a permanent moratorium on the expansion of radiation treatment facilities. And I think that is very unwise. I don't think that we have the full information to make that kind of judgment. And further, I question whether we should be making that judgment. So I think given the choices that we have here this morning, which is to say we do have a moratorium in place, it was passed last April, less than a year ago, and what Senator Scheid is saying, let's extend that for another year and give this body an opportunity to be a little bit more informed about what that consists of, to understand a little better the issues of capacity, to understand what our judgment ought to be on this. Or we take Senator Berglund's advice and reject the Scheid Amendment and put a permanent moratorium on this. And I think that is unwise. How do we get at lower costs by ensuring that a very high-cost treatment has a monopoly in place by law in Minnesota? How do we do that? Senator Salzman mentioned that we are concerned about costs of treatment. But how does that cost get better if we put a law in place saying there's not going to be any possibility of a patient seeking a lower cost treatment opportunity somewhere else other than the currently existing treatment facilities? That just does not make any sense. If we're interested in reducing costs, we ought to be interested in encouraging competition. And that may not be for us to decide today, given the amendment that we're being offered, but at least it gives us a window to say, let's look at this a little bit more, and let's not make this a permanent moratorium. Let's not make this a permanent monopoly, members. And so I would urge that you support Senator Scheid's amendment.
Is there further discussion on the amendment? Senator Scheid.
Madam Chair, just it's important to reiterate, this does not do away with the moratorium. The moratorium is still in place. It would just extend a year beyond current law to 2010. We ought not be getting involved in the relationship of patients and their doctors when it comes to treatments for diseases like cancer for which radiation therapy is used. I know we have a study. I think there's more to be said than just what's in this study. There's new technology emerging, and it may be true that they'll be handling more than 35 patients a day. As I said before, the accrediting group uses a standard of 27 a day. I think about the patient this morning who may have had an appointment at 8 o'clock for their radiation, and whether they were driving to Rochester or to Minneapolis, why wouldn't we want them to have it where it's most convenient for them? Again, members, we're really knocking down competition with this moratorium language in the first place. That's not going to lower costs. This isn't about the uninsured. This is about people who have cancer and other diseases for which they need radiation therapy. So I urge you to err on the side of the patient, please.
Is there further discussion? Senator Berglund.
Madam Chair and members, just to be clear, this bill doesn't tell people how to practice medicine. It doesn't tell people where a physician should be located. It says we have enough facilities to very adequately treat everyone in this area that this bill is affected by who has cancer. And we will for a long time to come. So we don't need to be having bills that imply that we are going to be needing more facilities in a couple of years. That is why you should vote against the amendment. Bill isn't about telling people how to practice medicine. It isn't whether you're for or against cancer patients. It's about being good stewards of the resources we've already invested in as a community.
Is there further discussion?
Senator
Hand.
Thank you. And members, again, let's be clear. The choice here is we have a moratorium. It's a temporary moratorium for a period of a year. Senator Scheid has said let's extend that out for 2 years. So we're going to have a moratorium. It's either going to be a 2-year moratorium, or if we reject the amendment and take Senator Berglund's bill, we're going to have a permanent moratorium. A permanent moratorium. And I'm just asking this body whether you feel qualified, competent, and confident enough to say that we know capacity issues well enough that we can put a permanent moratorium in this state on the existence of additional facilities. Why not wait 2 years? Why not let this process at least be open to discussion for another couple of years? Why can we now say here today that we know now forever after that we are going to have a moratorium on any more treatment facilities? I don't think this is wise. I don't think that this makes sense. We have a moratorium. Senator Scheid is not asking to give up the moratorium, as much as some of us may wish we could have that discussion, but that's not the discussion for today. She's just asking that we extend the moratorium for another year. I think that is wise and prudent and within the scope of what we know as a body. And so I would urge members to do the right thing and support Senator Scheid's amendment.
Is there further discussion? The Secretary will take the roll on the Scheid amendment. There being 23 ayes, the Secretary close the roll. There being 23 ayes and 40 nays, the motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. Is there further discussion on Senate File 2667? Senator Berglund has moved that when this committee do arise, that Senate file 2667 be recommended to pass. I'm sorry. Further discussion? Senator Vandeveer.
Thank you. Is it Madam Chair or President? Madam Chair. So, Senator Berglund, if this works, then the way that you anticipate, then should we, can we start deciding how many houses are going to be built and by who and where they're going to build them? And that way we'd never get oversupply and we'd never have slow times in building. And then maybe we could do that with grocery stores, with Cub Foods and festivals, and then none of them would ever go out of business. This opens up a whole new arena of opportunity for us to put more people out of business. And I frankly don't see why we do this and why we interfere with competition and then wonder why our insurance costs and the cost of medical services so high. I think this bill is probably taking on a little bit more than we're capable of deciding here today, and I think we should vote no.
Senator Vandeveer, were you asking Senator Berglund a question? No, just making a statement. Okay. Senator Fredrickson? Is there further discussion on Senate file 2667?
Madam President.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Madam President. And members, we are now being asked to accept the original proposal that Senator Berglund has brought before us, which is to establish a permanent moratorium on the building of additional radiation treatment facilities in the state of Minnesota. And I would just ask you to think about that, that we are being asked as a body to say that we know the capacity of treatment facilities in the state of Minnesota, and we know that today they are adequate, and they're going to be adequate forever. We know that today, and that we're willing to say that no treatment facilities can be built in the state of Minnesota from here on forward, unless, I presume, we have some petitioning operation come to this legislature and say, please let us build one. Please let us build one. And I'm just asking, is that the kind of work that this body feels it should be doing? We have talked a lot about health care this year, and we have in the past years, and we will going forward. And there are many members of this body on both sides of the aisle who question the wisdom of having governmental bodies make decisions about health care. And yet here we are today acting as a board of directors, I guess, for treatment in the state of Minnesota, and we're saying that we know how much treatment there should be, where it should be done, and we furthermore believe that the cost structure that we have today for radiation ought to be preserved by a monopoly action on the part of this body. And that's what we're doing. We're creating a monopoly. We're enforcing a monopoly. We're saying that no other treatment facilities can be brought into existence unless they come before this Senate, this legislature, and petition us for permission to build a radiation treatment facility. And I ask you, why do we do that? Do we do it with other kinds of treatment facilities? We don't, and we shouldn't, but we're doing it in this case. And so, members, I think we had an opportunity to extend the moratorium that's in place today. That was just rejected. And to remind you again, we have a moratorium that we passed last April that will extend out for at least another year. And why don't we just say, let's live with that. Let's let this moratorium that's in place stay in effect, and let's spend some more time to think about what we're going to do here. Let's see if we can all have a chance to read this capacity study, which I would suggest that most of us had not had a chance to even look at, much more read and understand and assess whether or not this capacity study is, in fact, a legitimately correct and accurate one. And I'm not saying it isn't, but I just don't know. And I don't think members of this body know. And so, members, the choice we have now is to put a permanent moratorium in the state of Minnesota on additional treatment facilities, or to allow the current moratorium that's in place to exist and stay in place for another year and let us think some more about what our actions are going to be. And so, members, I would urge us to vote no on this bill.
Is there further discussion on Senate File 2667? There being no further discussion, the question occurs on the motion of Senator Berglund that Senate File 2667 be recommended to pass. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no.
No.
The motion prevails. The next bill on general orders is Senate File 3081. Senator Dahl is not in the chamber. We will proceed to Senate File 2690. Senator Lynch.
I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2690 be recommended to pass.
Senator Lynch moves that Senate File 2690 be recommended to pass. Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Madam President. Senate File 2690 is a provision that has been brought to our attention because the city of Rochester will soon become a city of the first class, and there are a number of statutes and provisions that accommodate cities in that particular class. And this legislation is enabling legislation that will allow the city to continue funding of the History Center. It's enabling legislation. It doesn't require anything. And I ask for members' support.
Is there further discussion on Senate File 2690? Senator Frederickson.
Madam Chair, will Senator Lynch yield?
Senator Lynch, she yields. Senator Frederickson.
Madam Chair, Senator Lynch, I understand your explanation. You want to exempt Rochester from this, but this would exempt all of the first class. This would exempt all of the first class cities. Is that the intent? And is St. Paul, Minneapolis, and Duluth also supporting this?
Senator Lynch.
Madam President, yes, this would apply to all cities of the first class, as you've noted, and I don't know of any known opposition to this, and again, this is just enabling. Many times within the city charter, in those cities of the first class, they will have provisions that address this, and this is just giving them the ability to do that if they so desire.
Is there further discussion on Senate File 2690? There being no further discussion, the question occurs on the motion of Senator Lynch that Senate File 2690 be recommended to pass. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The next bill on general orders is Senate File 2534. Senator Kubley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a bill that has come before us for
Kubley,
individual counties in the past.
Senator Kubley, you need to make the proclamation.
Madam Chair, I would move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2534 be recommended to pass.
Senator Kubley has moved that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 2534 be recommended to pass. Senator Kubley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is another bill for a county, one of the seven counties that I represent, and it's asking that certain offices in that county be made appointive rather than elective. It would refer primarily to the county recorder and to the county's auditor-treasurer. Currently, the auditor-treasurer office is filled by one person, so that's not two separate offices, but it's a path that we've been down before a number of times for a number of other counties, Madam Chair, and I would appreciate your support on this one. Thank you very much.
Is there further discussion on Senate File 2534? Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Would the author yield, please?
Senator Kubley yields. Senator Ingebrigtsen.
A couple questions, Senator Kubley. Now, last year we went through this similar bill, but although it was the counties actually that were looking to appoint more elected officials than you're talking about here, I think it was kind of a auditor, treasurer, and maybe even county attorney and sheriff. I don't recall, but it was actually pulled on the floor. And I guess a couple questions that I have, and then some comments afterwards, are a question: did the county board agree to this by resolution at all? The county board of the county that you're representing.
Senator Kubley.
Madam Chair, yeah, thank you, Madam Chair, and Senator Ingebrigtsen, and the county board brought the request to me, yes.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Senator. Madam Chair and members, once again, we come to this bill that the counties in the state of Minnesota seem to be bringing about in different ways. Last year it was actually all 87 counties, and I understand that there are 24 counties that have already done this, so there is an argument that way. However, this is just another step towards the inability of the residents of our local counties, who are, by the way, good enough and wise enough to vote these county commissioners into office. However, the county commissioners are taking it upon themselves, and at least in the thought process, that they're much smarter than the voters, and they actually want to be able to appoint these officials. So I think this really, members, really flares in the face of the folks that are voting for their officials. And sooner or later, if we keep on this road, there's not going to be anybody left, and not anybody, no say at all in county government. And I would really urge members to consider that, because they are, after all, the ones that voted for us and voted for those county commissioners. I think they're certainly wise enough to vote for their county officials. So I oppose this and would urge you to vote no.
Is there further discussion on Senate File 2534? Senator Dill.
Madam President or Madam Chair?
Chair.
Chair. Madam Chair, members, I've never really liked these bills that have come up and cropped up for the last decade and a half, where we're decreasing the number of elected officials. And I know the mega trend is against this, so I don't expect to prevail in any way. But I'm just generally opposed to decreasing the number of elected officials. And I know Senator Kubley is very worried about township rights and local democracy and community rights and this and that and so on, as it relates to at least the township level of government. And so this bill, I think, is a little inconsistent with that position. And so I will not be voting for this, but I'm not expecting it to do anything but pass, because we've done it so many times in the past. It's just one of the things we do, and eventually I suppose all 87 counties will be in the same boat, but I'm generally opposed to decreasing the number of elected officials in this state.
Senator Kubley.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I guess to Senator Ingebrigtsen and to Senator Dill, I think that I've had some of the same feelings that you two have expressed in the past, and yet of all the counties that we've done this for in the years that I've been here, we've never had a single county where the county commissioners ran on this issue and came back and asked us to back out of the agreement that that former county commissioners had asked us to propose. So it seems to me that that it is an issue that is accepted by the population at large, in spite of the fact that I think there are people out there that like to vote and do follow the people that run for office. But it seems to me that if there was great dissatisfaction with this process, that there would be counties where the county commissioners who proposed this kind of legislation be passed for their county would lose their seat, and the new people who came in would ask us to go back on the legislation for their county. And that hasn't happened in any of the counties that I'm aware of. So I'd appreciate your vote, members. Thank you very much.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just one more comment, or maybe a question directed to the author. Would he yield one more question?
He yields.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator, I guess my question would be very direct. If the county that you're dealing with here comes to you and wants to appoint the county attorney and the county sheriff, are you going to come down here and ask for that as well?
Senator Kubley.
Probably not. I think I think there are a lot of issues around those offices that that are not really found in the auditor, treasurer, or the recorder's office. In fact, I think there are quite a few people who don't even know what the offices that they're asking for, what their responsibilities are. I mean, they might have kind of a vague idea. And there are some that know, quite frankly. I think there are people that do know that. But on the other hand, I think there are a lot of people who have fairly strong feelings about both of the other offices that you mentioned.
Senator Ingebretson has requested a roll call. Are there three hands? Seeing three hands, there will be a roll call. Is there further discussion on Senate File 2534? There being no further discussion, the question occurs on the motion of Senator Kubley that Senate File 2534 be recommended to pass. The Secretary will take the roll. Have all senators voted who desire to vote? Secretary, close the roll. There being 47 ayes. There being 47 ayes and 13 nays, the motion prevails. We'll now revert to Senate File.
Where's the list?
I need the list. Senate File 3081. Senator Dahl.
Madam President, I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 3081 be recommended to pass.
Senator Dahl has moved that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 3081 be recommended to pass. Senator Dahl.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, Senate File 31 is taking care of the folks we've been talking about quite a bit in the last few weeks, those that are in the lower income class in our state. We are, now that we're still in the middle of winter here, this is a cold weather rule for and modifications to the past due payments and how we would reconnect service. Briefly, I'll go through what the bill is doing here. We introduce some monthly reports that cover a variety of things that the utilities will report on. And the first section of this bill is asking that the reports are issued no more than 45 days after the last day of the month. So that's basically providing them on a timely basis. The second section of this bill has the utilities making reasonable efforts to restore the service within 24 hours after an accepted payment agreement has been arrived at. We're taking into consideration the customer's availability, the employee's availability, any construction-related activities that may be going on that might affect that. But for all purposes, the utilities would be asked to restore service within 24 hours. Third section is taking into account that households that have above 50% of the state median income, most of those folks that would probably be addressing this part of the bill would be those that are kind of on the cusp. And just to ask that we that those folks are allowed the right to, in the negotiation of a payment agreement, that we take into consideration the customer's financial circumstances and any other extenuating circumstances. And then the final section of the bill prohibits a utility from charging an additional service deposit as a consideration to continue service. I'll stand for questions, and I ask for your support.
Is there further discussion on Senate File 3081? There being no further discussion, the question occurs on the motion of Senator Dahl that Senate File 3081 be recommended to pass. All those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The next bill on general orders is Senate File 2472, Senator Sharon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2472 be recommended to pass.
Senator Sharon has moved that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 2472 be recommended to pass. Senator Sharon.
Thank you very much. This is another request from Nicola County to, by resolution, be able to move the office of the county auditor and treasurer to an appointed rather than an elective position.
Is there further discussion on Senate File 2472? There being no further discussion, the question occurs on the motion of Senator Sharon that Senate File 2472 be recommended to pass. All those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The motion prevails.
The next bill under consideration on general orders be Senator Rest, Senate File 2500. Is this?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 2500 be recommended to pass.
Senator Rest, discussion on the bill.
Mr. Chairman and members, Senate File 2500 gives the privilege of simulcasting thoroughbred racing to the new track opening for harness racing up in the city of Columbus. As I think most of you know, the statutes call for two licenses for horse racing tracks to be given. The first one was given to Canterbury. There was a distance requirement that the second track had to be so many miles away from the first one. That was met, and the track is due to open in the next few weeks. In the past, this organization had asked for the privilege of opening their card table, their tables for playing games, card games. Early, that request was not met in any legislation, but they did ask for a level playing field to provide simulcasting for all breeds, just as is the case at Canterbury. They have no more privileges than Canterbury has. They will have to wait for 60 days to open their card club, and I would appreciate your support of the bill.
Further discussion on Senate File 2500, Senator Vandeveer.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two amendments for the bill that I requested 3 hours ago and was told by the Senate counsel that we were not doing the bill today, and so, but they have said that they are making them, but I don't have them at the moment.
Yes, they're being copied now. Do you want to wait?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Rest.
I would be happy to lay the bill over and do my next bill and then come back to...
Sure, that...
To progress the bill and then come back to this one to accommodate Senator Vandeveer.
We'll lay Senate file, or progress, I guess, is what we're going to be doing. Progress the bill, Senate file 2500, and without objection, we'll go to the next arrest bill, Senate arrest bill, Senate file 2402, relating to the Board of Accountancy. Senate arrest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate file 2402 be recommended to pass.
Senator Rest, discussion on the bill.
Mr. Chairman, the Senate file 2402 modifies provisions in statute that apply to the Board of Accountancy. They update the practice of accountancy in the state of Minnesota to changes that have been made to the Uniform Accountancy Act across the country. In particular, and I think of note, the bill provides for the mobility of a CPA license to for people to have fairly open access to practice state to state without having to go through relicensing in states where they were not originally licensed, and that has been adopted in the majority of states in the nation. In addition, the bill provides for the taking of the CPA exam to occur prior to meeting the full education requirements. And again, this is an updating to the Uniform Accountancy Act.
Okay.
The bill is mostly technical in nature and is supported by the Board of Accountancy itself and the CPA Society. And there was no opposition. So I would request member support.
Any further discussion on Senate File 2402? Seeing none, the Senator Rest renews her motion that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 2402 be recommended to pass. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Are you ready, or you want to take Senator Higgins' bill, Senator Vandeveer? Okay, the amendments are at the desk. We'll revert to Senate File 2500. Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, do I need to repeat the motion? I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 2500 be recommended to pass.
Okay, any further discussion, Senator Vandeveer?
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you, Senator Rest, for your patience. I have the A2 amendment.
Secretary will report the Vandeveer A2 amendment.
Senator Vandeveer moves to amend Senate File 2500 as follows, page 2, line 17. This is amendment A-2.
Senator Vandeveer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, what this amendment does is, the A2 amendment, is it simply recognizes the fact that there is some social cost to the expansion of gambling that's in the bill, and what it says is that the TRAC agrees to make an annual contribution of 1% of the amount of the all-breed simulcasting revenue generated in the TRAC, or $50,000, whichever is less. And that it would be contributed to one or more nonprofit community service organizations located within a 3-mile radius of the Class A licensed racetrack that provides such as but not limited to food shelves or youth intervention programs. And I request a roll call, Mr. President.
There will be a roll call on three hands for roll call. Three hands for roll call. Let's proceed in three hands. There will be a roll call. Senator Est.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would ask members to reject this amendment. We all want our business community to be contributing to the community and to engage in charitable giving where it is appropriate. And I think that the company that is operating and owning the track in Anoka County, in Columbus, has a very good record of doing that. And I'd like to give you just a few facts about their involvement with the community, pointing out that the City of Columbus and Anoka County, among others, do indeed support the initiative before you in Senate File 2500. But with respect to the City of Columbus, in addition to the creation of approximately 600 full-time job equivalents that will generate a $12 million payroll, the North Metro Track, as part of its approval process with the city, guaranteed real estate taxes to Columbus of not less than $227,000, irrespective of any ultimate county allocation, and further will be contributing additional $88,000 to Columbus for safety, fire department, police department, and social programs. They have committed to the mayor and city council their active participation in community charities and other civic projects, as well as the use of their $62 million facility for fundraisers, charitable, and other civic events. Even before their April 11, 2008 opening race day, they have committed and will sponsor on April 4th and 5th a charity event for the Forest Lake Youth Service Bureau, and will follow on charitable events for the Youth Service Bureau later this summer. The North Metro Harness Initiative, and throughout the history of Southwest Casino and MTR Gaming, the owner of the facility, they have a strong track record of making contributions, charitable contributions to the community. And I would suggest that the amendment is not needed, and ask members to reject it.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Vandeveer.
Thank you, Mr. President. And Senator Ross, it is correct that it appears that the track is doing some donating and some charitable activity. They seem like very nice people. You know, this isn't an issue with that. It is simply to recognize the social costs, that there are social costs to expanding gambling to a community, and also that, you know, this isn't just a business. This is a business with the state will only allow two at this point of these types of facilities in the entire state. It isn't like it's a free market operation. It's not meant to attack the track, but I think requiring, and I'm sorry I made a mistake earlier, they would only be required to contribute up to $30,000 to food shelves or other community service organizations. And I don't think that's too much of a burden, and I would appreciate your support. Thank you.
Secretary will take the roll on the Vandeveer motion. Any further discussion? It'll be a roll call. Secretary, take the roll.
Thank you.
All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 8 ayes and 49 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Further discussion on the bill, Senator Vandeveer.
Mr. President, I have the A3 amendment.
Secretary will report the Vandeveer A3 amendment.
Senator Vandeveer moves to amend Senate File 2500 as follows. Page 3, after line 36, insert Section 4. This is Amendment A-3.
Senator Vandeveer.
Mr. President, I'd request a roll call on this amendment, too.
three hands for roll call. Three hands. Senator Vandeveer, there will be a roll call.
Thank you. What this amendment does, members, is simply says that if there's any expansion of gambling in any locality in the state, that the people in the area will have, in the city or town that it's located, will have the opportunity to approve that through a referendum. It is also drafted not to affect this racetrack or this the bill that Senator Rest has. It would just be forward from this bill. That is the intent. Not that it affect this racetrack, but give communities the right to have a referendum on any expansion of gambling in those communities. Thank you.
Further discussion on the Vandeveer A3 amendment. Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Although I may be sympathetic to the overall policy that Senator Vandeveer is proposing here, I would like to suggest that he put this language into a formal bill and introduce it in the Senate where we can have a full discussion over this issue, this policy issue of having referendum about the location of casinos, and that we not attach it to a very simple bill that allows the new harness track a level playing field with giving simulcasting to thoroughbreds. So I would hope that even those that might support the policy would see that it's inappropriate to attach it to this bill and would vote no.
Further discussion on the amendment. Secretary will take the roll on the Vandeveer A3 amendment. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 7 ayes and 50 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Further discussion on Senate File 2500. Seeing none, Senator Rest renews her motion that when this committee do arise, that's House Senate File 2500 be recommended to pass. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I move the committee do now arise and report.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogermiller.
I move that the report of the committee of the whole, as kept by the secretary, be now adopted.
On Senator Pogermiller's motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails.
Senator. President, apparently there's an addendum to the agenda.
Or is it? I probably threw it away.
Yeah, there's an addendum. Remaining under reports of committees. Revert to reports of committees. They're all printed on today's agenda.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogermiller.
I move that the committee reports printed in the addendum be adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Also on the addendum is second reading of Senate bills. There's one printed on today's agenda without objection, second reading of Senate bills. Also on the addendum, there's second reading of two House bills. They are printed on today's agenda, addendum. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Second reading. Is that it? I believe that completes the work at the desk, including the introduction and first reading of Senate bills. Without objection, Senator Vickerman, M. Olson, Moi, Worgen, excuse from today's session all day, Senator Michelle from 11 to 11:20, Senator Dill and Olson from 11 to 11:30, Senator Bach and Senator Day from 11 to 11:35. Senator Anderson.
Mr. President, I would ask to be excused from 11 to 11:15, please.
Senator Anderson, also without objection, be excused from today's session from 11 to 11:15. Senator Ropes.
Mr. Chair, I'd also ask to be excused today from 11 to 11:15.
Senator Erickson Ropes, from 11 to 11:15. Okay. Senator Marty.
Mr. President, the Health, Housing, and Family Security Committee will meet 15 minutes after we adjourn.
Any other announcements? Senator Betzel.
Mr. President, the State Government Budget Division will meet at 1 o'clock.
Further announcements? Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I wanted to make two recognitions. It's my understanding that today is the 1 year to the day that our colleague, Senator Sams, passed away. And I'm wondering if members would like to just take a moment to recognize
Why don't we rise and take a moment of silence for dear friend Della Sams. Senator Pogemiller.
And then, Mr. President, I think some of the members know this, but we have a addition to the Senate family. Apparently, there is a granddaughter, Veronica, to Senator Scheid. Then, Mr. President, tomorrow the plan is to take up, I think Senator Bach would like to take up the non-controversial tax bill. It was on the addendum just now, came out of the tax committee today. In addition, the House is going to process their version of the bonding bill tomorrow, and so we will do what's necessary to accept the House file tomorrow. And so hopefully that'll be sometime in the afternoon, not the evening. But if the House does debate it all afternoon and early evening, then we would come back in the evening to accept the House report and then have our final vote on the bonding bill. So with that, Mr. President, I'd yield to Senator Senjum.
Senator Senjum.
Mr. President, Senate Republicans will caucus at 5 o'clock this evening to consider the tax bill in the state office building.
Okay. For their announcement, Senator Pogemiller.
And there's a 5 o'clock majority caucus this afternoon also for the same purpose. So, Mr. President, I would move that the Senate adjourn till Thursday, March 6th, 11 a.m.
On the motion to adjourn by Senate Mr. Pogemiller, Senator Pogemiller, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senate stands adjourned.